Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Right there in the New York State budget agreement that we talked about earlier are some decidedly non-budgetary items about standardized tests, a law that limits the amount of test prep schools can numb kids' minds with, and one that prohibits standardized test scores from going on students' permanent record cards until 2018. Now, tomorrow happens to be the day that the statewide English tests are being given in grades 3 through 8. Let's talk about the tests, why Governor Cuomo wanted them not to count for students, but yes, to count for evaluating teachers, and why some parents are deciding to opt their kids out. WNYC's Yasmeen Khan from our education website, schoolbook.org, is here. Hi, Yas.
Hello.
And let's go over some of these testing backlash provisions being enacted into state law today. One is limiting test prep. And we found this language online. And folks, this may be the first time you're hearing this. So listen to what they're probably going to pass into state law by the end of today. Quote, that for each school district, the amount of time devoted to test preparation under standardized testing conditions for each grade does not exceed in the aggregate 2% of the minimum required annual instructional hours for such grade. So can't exceed 2% of the minimum required annual instructional hours for such grade. Any idea, Yas, what percentage of time is devoted to test prep now during the school year?
No, I mean, that would vary completely by school, actually. But 2%, while it sounds so specific, I mean, that language is actually
–
it sounds so low. It's actually it's vague still. I'm not sure exactly in terms of minutes what that amounts to, what they're thinking. And I don't know – how they would enforce that, and exactly what they mean when they say test prep.
Good point.
We have some ideas in terms of maybe the types of practice tests that schools are giving and things like that.
Depends on what the meaning of is.
Yeah.
The meaning of test prep is, the meaning of in the aggregate does not exceed in the aggregate 2% of the minimum required, depends what the meaning of minimum is, annual instructional hours for such grade. Teachers, help us out here. You're hearing this language. What are they actually limiting? Is this going to change your lives? Principals, are you hearing this? If you are limited to 2% of the minimum required annual instruction hours for such grade for test prep, what is that going to mean to you in your school? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Help us understand what they are apparently going to pass into law today. And you raise a really good question, Yas, about enforceability. Will principals be counting minutes or requiring, let's say, minutes of test prep reports in writing from teachers on some new form?
Yeah. I mean, and this is, first of all, one of a few changes in terms of Common Core implementation that's laid out in the budget. And I think most people would call them gestures, you know, that lawmakers are sort of listening to people's concerns about the rollout of the Common Core, and that's been a little rocky. But I mean, I hope educators call in, but I would have to say that they probably would say, principals and teachers would say, that the test scores, the way that test scores are used, is really the only thing that can change the test prep culture in schools.
And in the budget, scores won't be used for students when it comes to advancing to the next grade, or if I read correctly, even being reported on their permanent transcripts.
That's right.
But they will be used for evaluating teachers?
Yes. That's written into state law. Teachers do not get off the hook with that one. So it's, you know, as part of their evaluation, is still going to be based on student progress according to test scores.
So, for example, if scores won't count for students when it comes to advancing the next grade, having gone through this not too many years ago, the scores that you get for the fifth grade standardized tests for your child.
Right. Or the fourth grade.
The fourth grade. The fourth grade standardized tests help to determine whether they can qualify for middle school gifted and talented programs.
That's correct. Also, I mean,
is that out the window now?
Well, it, it appears that it could be if this is part of state law. And I have asked that question to the city's Department of Education because this is sort of a district level requirement. It's not just gifted and talented. It's middle school admissions and high school admissions. A lot of schools will look at the fourth grade test scores and the seventh grade test scores for middle schools and high schools, respectively. So we have to see if that means that the admissions criteria has to change.
Let's take a call from Mark in Brooklyn, who wants to muse on this 2% limit on test prep. Mark, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to say a couple of things. I just wanted to point out that basically what teachers will do to get around this is just implicitly teach to the test during their lessons. So they'll just find ways of working in test prep into their daily lessons.
Possible. Are you a teacher, by the way?
You know, I taught for 10 years and then I quit because it really became the worst job in the world, and that's a sad statement because I was a good teacher.
Since retention is such an issue, what could have kept you in?
Honestly, higher pay and more effective use of our time. There was so much passing the buck and so much just sort of onerous obligations put on top of us that took us away from our students, all in the name of these kind of external monitoring type things where all the people in the DOE and then the politicians could look like they were, you know, really doing something about schools, and really it just became...
Name one. What was that? What was the time suck when you were teaching?
You'd get drawn into things like professional development two or three times a week with people who have taught for all of 2 years, who are making double your salary as a consultant to the DOE, telling you to do things that you've already done 10,000 times.
If it was good professional development, which a lot of people think is really important, and which I think a lot of teachers want, if it was good professional development to try to upgrade the consistency of the quality of teaching across this massive system, would that have been different?
We would all love it because nobody says that they know everything and there's nothing left to learn. We would love it. Like, for instance, now if they've come down with the Common Core, which is perfectly fine as far as standards go, but they could have taught teachers how to implement it for at least a year or two before implementing it. You know, not to mention that the only issue I've got with the Common Core is that it assumes a level of literacy across the board that a lot of city kids just don't have. So they're all defending the standards, and they're great, but they're ignoring the fact that kids are incapable of just writing the basic test and reading the basic documents on the test, and that's just swept under the rug, in a sense.
Mark, thank you for your call. I really appreciate your experience and your thoughts.
Yeah, that last point that Mark just brought up is, I think, why there are these changes, Common Core changes, in the bill language,
because the Common Core standards mean that more is going to be expected of the kids than were just a few years ago. The tests will reflect that, but the kids aren't there yet.
Right. I mean, the standards are just standards. You know, they define where a student should be at the end of the third grade, fourth grade, or whatever, and where they're supposed to be when they graduate from high school. But they don't tell you how to get there or what materials you should use or how to assess the students to make sure that they're achieving progress.
And that's why Governor Cuomo and the legislature want to make sure that this doesn't really count for students until 2018. It's written in. So that's supposed to give the school systems, another 4 years to ramp it up.
That's right. And we'll see. I mean, I think, you know, scores have been used in progress reports. They're still going to be used in teacher evaluations. I don't know that this will sort of take away some of the emphasis on scores for kids and teachers. We'll have to see.
Beth in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good. I was wondering if the 2% test prep limit applies to charter schools as well as regular community public schools. I know when it's convenient, charters consider themselves public, but not always. So,
does any of this, yes, apply to charter schools?
That's a good question. I would say that, I'm not sure. But
charter schools do have to give their kids the same statewide standardized tests because they're technically public schools, right?
Right. And this is, a mandate set out by the state now. So I would think that it would apply to charter schools as opposed to district regulations.
So you know what's really contradictory here? It's just occurring to me. If they're going to limit the amount of time to 2% that teachers can spend on test prep with their kids, but they're going to evaluate the teachers based on how well the kids do on these standardized tests, then they're putting the teachers in a really conflicted position in terms of their own interest.
Yes. Is that a question? I mean, I think teachers definitely feel that way. And I think, you know, there's – I've sort of been learning myself about the difference between teaching to the test and test prep. I think that there could be a difference.
What's the difference?
Well, I mean, maybe it's one and the same, depending on how you look at it. But, you know, if you have an established curriculum, you're a school that really embraces the whole child philosophy, I think there are a lot of teachers who still feel like they have to prepare their students to sit down and take a test for 3 days in math and 3 days in English. And that might just mean, you know, teaching students how to go over multiple choice questions, how to, you know, making sure that they have that sort of those skills to persevere when they don't understand something.
So let me go back to this clause in the law with another stab of what might actually be getting limited to 2% here. Quote, for each school district, the amount of time devoted to test preparation under standardized testing conditions for each grade not exceed in the aggregate 2% of the hours for such grade. So under standardized testing conditions. So maybe that doesn't restrict teaching to the test at all. What it restricts is standardized testing conditions. Let's sit here and take a practice test and take another practice test and take another practice test.
Yeah, I mean, they could be
which is not that
materials
much of a
developed
limitation.
By the teacher as well. And how would you know, if a classroom test or a quiz or something like that is test prep or not? I mean, I'm not sure.
Liz in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Liz.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am opting out my daughter of a test.
What grade is she in? What grade?
Fourth grade.
Uh huh.
And fourth grade, it was a very difficult decision for my family to make, but we're part of 2/3 of the parents at Brooklyn New School who are opting out of the tests. And so we're part of a larger movement that is saying we absolutely do not agree with policies that are narrowing the curriculum, that are, you know, causing massive amounts of test prep. And I did a little bit of math, and it seems like we're talking about what you just said, Brian, 18 hours. Now it's limited to 18 hours of test prep in a testing-type situation, which still seems crazy that you would actually subject an 8-year-old to 18 hours of sitting to practice for a test
which maybe they don't
9 hours of a test.
Yeah, so maybe it actually doesn't even get done. And what Yas said earlier is exactly right. This is nothing more than a gesture. I don't know. We're still parsing this. This is why we're having this conversation about this language that just got released over the weekend. Maybe it's just a nod in language to parents like Liz who are concerned about too much test prep, but it doesn't change a thing.
Possibly. And I mean, obviously parents and like Liz are concerned about the amount of test prep in school. And like Liz was saying, the way that the tests themselves have sort of focused or narrowed the curriculum, rather, because there's such an emphasis on math and English that maybe there's not as much time for social studies and science, let alone the arts in schools.
Liz, stay there for a minute. I want to put you on with another Brooklynite who I think is going to make a different point. So let's keep Liz on the board and add Michael in Brooklyn. Michael, you're on WNYC, too. Hi.
Hi. How are you this morning?
Good. You research math remediation?
Well, that's what I do now. I work at Columbia University, and I research remedial math prep and things like that. And what my original point was going to be is that this seems like it's going to affect the lower-tier students in terms of performance much more than the students who are already performing at median or above.
In other words, if teachers really do have their hands tied in some way with respect to how much test prep they can do toward these standardized tests, it's going to hurt the kids who aren't doing so well.
That's what I think. I mean, the biggest thing that I find in my research is that even if you're trying to assess math, but the child's literacy is poor, then you never even get to the point where you can assess their math understanding, because they don't understand how the question is framed and they don't understand how to take the test.
Do you think that the system works for the high-need kids who you study? That is, the fact that there are more standardized tests over the last decade or so, which have always been through No Child Left Behind and then into the Obama era, designed to bring up the bottom. Do you think the standardized tests serve a purpose?
I understand the overall point and the purpose that they serve. I think that the number of factors that we're facing with the kids that are coming in from different conditions, whether or not it's at home, if they're in a foster situation or a single parent or high needs in terms of income, or the number of factors that they face confound their ability to perform in school and the support that they have at home. And the way that transfers in their ability to show what they know in a schooling environment is very difficult in a standardized setting.
Difficult in a standardized setting. So you're skeptical of the ability of standardized tests to bring a lot of children up from failing in poverty conditions because it's not the thing that's going to get the teacher to get them there.
Yeah, I agree 100% with the Common Core. I've reviewed a lot of the Common Core. We do it as a development of materials when we're doing research. And I think that having these benchmarks for kids to be able to do is a great foundation for it. A lot of things I've heard in the coverage that you've done over the last couple of weeks regarding instruction, I think you had one teacher call in to say that she was skeptical of Common Core because they had not provided them with any curriculum on how to teach them.
Right.
And my opinion in working in education is that if you're a teacher, the art of developing curriculum and knowing how to teach is part of the art of teaching.
Liz, I kept you on because I wonder if there's a class divide here. You, I'm guessing, are more from upper middle class educated background. Correct me if I'm wrong. Michael is researching kids who need a lot of math remediation, who come from high needs and high poverty backgrounds. He's concerned about teachers being limited to too little teaching to a standardized test. You're opting your fourth grade daughter out entirely. You think there's a class divide here?
You know, what's really interesting, and we're having a press conference on this tomorrow, is that there are parents opting their children out from all levels of social economic status. And so and hopefully you guys will cover this, we've partnered with a school in Brownsville, the Rivendell Community Avenue Community School, and they have also have two-thirds of their parents opting out of the standardized test. So I think that it's actually time, it's a really exciting time when parents from across social economic spectrums are banding together and saying these policies are hurting our children. It's kind of funny to think that that what would help students of any level of need is to have more than 18 hours of sitting in a test-timed situation, and that that's somehow going to get them ready for college. It's laughable, and anybody who thinks that the Common Core is 100% fabulous is really, you got to question that, because that's not using critical thinking, Michael. It's really important that we not think things are 100% fabulous. And just like I could easily talk to you about how assessment is something that's really important. So it's about the stakes. They're really, really problematic. There's nothing that tells us that you can trust a test that has this many stakes attached to it. Every researcher, psychometrician will tell you that it invalidates a test to attach stakes like this to a test. So that's
Liz,
if
your daughter couldn't do 2 + 2, wouldn't you want to drill her on 2 + 2 and test her on 2 + 2 until she could get it so you can move on from that building block?
Would you, Brian? I mean, that's not how it works. That's not actually how learning works. I might want to get her involved in some kind of really exciting project where it's imperative that you figure out 2 + 2. So
that's one way.
So she you can get, like, maybe it's some kind of fun game, and the only way you can get to the other side is by figuring out 2 + 2. So
that's
that's
curriculum.
That for all our kids.
Right. Michael?
I would say, I think the other thing that her point is making, I think we're on the same page in the sense of, I agree that I don't think standardized testing is the most fair assessment across the board, regardless of SES, regardless of performance level. In terms of my adherence to Common Core, the question is not about what it's teaching, it's about the assessment. So on assessment, we're on the same page. I don't think it lacks critical thinking to think that a group of experts ranging from universities to teachers to administrators have collectively come together over years to develop the Common Core. And I agree with your point, Brian, that if a child doesn't understand 2 + 2, the idea is to go over the conceptual development of what it means to add objects together. And the development of mathematics, like any other discipline, is rooted in the world around us. And getting kids to make those contextual tetherings between where the abstractions of academia come from and how it's related to them in their life is the biggest challenge. And that's the biggest challenge of standardized testing, is it's not adaptive to be able to assess the different forms where these kids understand these different concepts.
Yeah, and so Liz makes a great point about coming up with games and things where you need to get to 2 + 2 in order to solve a problem, rather than sitting there and filling out bubble forms over and over again, and that kind of thing. So, Michael, thank you very much. And Liz, thank you very much. Great conversation. And Yasmin Khan from schoolbook.org.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, in terms of what Michael was saying, that's where you guys have to differentiate between the value of the standards and the value and the validity of the tests that are assessing the standards. So if, you know, a lot of schools that serve those very high needs students are the schools that have adopted a lot of test prep in their curriculum, maybe as a matter of survival, because the way that scores have been used in the past to evaluate schools as a whole. And we know under the Bloomberg administration that then those progress report scores were used to close schools. So, you know, a lot of principals maybe were left with no choice or felt like they had to just ensure that students performed well on the standardized assessments. And then in terms of opt-out, what Liz was saying is correct. The movement is growing. It's growing within the pockets that we've seen, those middle-class families. So there are some schools where the more students are going to opt out than will take the test starting tomorrow. And then we're seeing some new neighborhoods that are being brought into this movement. Harlem, the Bronx, Brownsville, Brooklyn.
And not always just as a bottom-up thing from the parents. Here's a clip of principal Allison Hazett from the Earth School, which is described as a public progressive elementary school located on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. She is down with her kids opting out.
We're not opposed to tests in and of themselves. It's really the high-stakes nature of the New York State ELA and mathematics exams.
And she told us that she expects half the kids in her school
an increase
to
over
opt
last year.
Out.
She said she had about 30% last year that opted out, and about half will opt out this
year.
Which,
of course, is so high, and it doesn't represent the system as
it's
a whole.
High,
because we should say that overall, very few kids are opting out.
Yeah,
right?
That's the point. I mean, last year, less than 0.1% of students in the city opted out. So if that number... maybe we'll look at it, 1% of students who opt out this year. I'm not sure, and we won't know, I guess, until after the tests start. But yes, it is a very small percentage.
All right. So here we go.
Yeah.
Common Core.
Common
standardized
core.
Tests. Let's see. Let's just go over the calendar again before we wrap it up.
Well, the state tests start tomorrow. English exams for 3rd through 8th grade, students in 3rd through 8th grade. And then followed by the math test 4 weeks later, which is unusual this year, by the way.
To have such a gap?
To have such a gap, yeah. The state had to accommodate all the spring breaks in the districts.
And another thing in the budget, if I read it right, is that now kindergarten, 1st and 2nd grade students cannot be tested using bubble forms.
That's correct.
Right? Those fill in the A, B, C, D, E little bubbles, right?
That, again, I think was really only happening in a very small number of cases, and it had to do more with tests related to the teacher evaluation system. But overall, I think there was just a wide consensus that young children should not be taking bubble tests like that.
And if these tests are grades 3 through 8 anyway, were the kids K through 2 doing it?
No, I mean, no, they were not taking standardized assessments, state assessments.
But I guess some teachers were having them kind of practice the art. Right?
Well, it was more, I think, for so under the teacher evaluation system. Uh-huh. In order to show progress, you have to assess students at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year.
I see.
So maybe some schools were having to adopt some new assessments and give them to 5-, 6-, 7-year-olds.
And the high schoolers, they're in a whole other realm. They're taking Regents exams and things like that, but no mid-year standardized tests?
That's right. But this year, the first phase in of Common Core tests is starting for the Regents exams. So students in algebra will take a Common Core Regents exam this year. And actually, students who are in advanced math, say in 7th and 8th grade, who take algebra who take Regents exams, they won't have to take the 7th grade math test this year if they are taking the Regents exam. So there won't be that double testing. That's new this year.
Yasmin Khan. Can people read all about this on schoolbook.org?
They sure can. They can read all they want all day long.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, an update on the WNYC Bodega Cat brackets. Which felines are heading toward our Bodega Cat Final Four? And why is this whimsical story taking a more serious turn than we expected? Stay with us.